G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And verse 28. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, and the title of my message is Believing with a Whole Heart or Being Single-Minded in Believing. And I'll kind of, you could use either one of those. But Mark 12, verse 28, give me an oi when you're there. So it says, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So I want you to notice in verse 30, it says, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now the heart, we understand when he says with all your heart, he's talking about your spirit. With all your soul, talks about your mind, your will, your emotions. With all your strength, he's talking about physically. And so we're talking about, Jesus is saying you've got to love God with all your heart, that's spiritually. With all your soul, that's your mind, your will, your intellect. And with all your strength, that's physically. And he also says, with all your mind. And I don't want to go, I could preach on this, but that word mind, I remember I used to read that quite perplexed. I thought, well, you've already said soul, and the mind is part of the soul. Why are you saying mind again? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Well, that word mind is not the same as the word for mind as it normally is in the scriptures. That word mind, where Jesus says, is the word dianoia, and it means imagination. Your imagination is part of your faculty. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, but you also possess an imagination. And Jesus was very specific about when we love God, it's not only spiritually, it's not just intellectually and emotionally, and it's not just even with all our body, but it's also with our imagination. And I don't want to, there's a whole heap I could share about that. I actually wanted to talk about this concept of heart. Here, Jesus is saying, love God with all your heart. And we understand that to mean spirit. I was taught that the heart of man was the spirit of man. But that's not always the case. And I'm going to prove that to you in the scriptures. There are some situations where you can read the scriptures and when it talks about the heart, it is not the spirit of a man. And if you think that to serve God with your heart means just to serve him spiritually, you're going to misunderstand whole sections of scriptures. If you're born again, your spirit is a new creation. Is that right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. The new has come. And all things have gone. All things are of God. So when you're born again, your spirit is a new creation and 100% of your spirit is of God. There is no evil in your spirit. It says all things are of God, it says there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, talking about your spirit. You're a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come, and everything in your spirit is of God. When you're born again, your spirit, the scripture says in Ephesians and also in Colossians, it's created in holiness and in righteousness. Your spirit is holy, it's blameless, it's faultless. You are without reproach in your spirit. 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 talks about your spirit. It says, anyone born of God does not sin, and indeed he cannot sin because he's born of God. I used to read that and it used to scare me, and I used to think, like, man, I sin all the time. Maybe I'm not born of God. I didn't understand. It was talking about my spirit. My spirit does not sin. Why? Because my spirit is brand new and my spirit is entirely of God. It's 100%. And my spirit cannot sin. When you're born again, I'm showing you from the scriptures what it says about your spirit. Your spirit has the mind of Christ. Your spirit is incorruptible. Your spirit rejoices always. The scriptures all along, you can write these down. 1 Corinthians 2:16 talks about having the mind of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about having an incorruptible spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 talks about your spirit rejoicing always. Your spirit as a born-again believer is one with Christ. It's one with the Lord. It says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Your spirit is perfect. There is nothing more that can happen to you if you're a believer. There's nothing more that can happen to you in your spirit. You're one with Christ. It's perfect. It's without blemish. It's faultless. It's holy. It cannot sin. It doesn't want to sin. It rejoices always. If you struggle with depression, it's because you are not operating out of your spirit. If you struggle with frustration, it's because you are not operating out of your spirit. Does that mean I'm saying that you're a bad person? No. If you're born again, your spirit is perfect. It just means that in that area, you're being carnal. You're being a meathead. If you struggle with worry and with fear, it means in those areas that you struggle with worry and fear, you are being carnally minded. You're not operating out of your spirit. Your spirit is seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father, far above every principality and power. Above every might and dominion and every name that is named. Hallelujah. Your spirit is just like Jesus. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. See, so I want you to understand, that's your spirit. It's perfect. It's without blemish. It doesn't want to sin. It cannot sin. It's one with the Lord. It's just like Jesus. But while that's descriptive of your spirit, your heart is not always like that. So your heart cannot always, when the scripture talks about your heart, it's not always talking about your spirit. Let me give you some examples. Jesus said you can commit adultery in your heart. Your spirit doesn't want to sin. Your spirit cannot sin. But you can commit adultery in your heart. That can't be talking about your spirit. A believer's heart can be evil and unbelieving. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says that. And it's talking in Hebrews 3 about the brethren. Your heart can be impure, it says in James chapter 4. You can have bitterness, envy, and self-seeking in your heart. James chapter 3 says that. Your heart can condemn you. 1 John chapter 3 says that. Your heart can be hardened. You can doubt in your heart. But your spirit believes all things, especially the things of God. So the heart of man is not always referring to the spirit of a man. It does in some cases, because the spirit of man is part of your heart. But your heart is more than just your spirit. Your heart really, and I don't want to go into full details, you can study this out. I've given you a start where you can look up those scriptures. But here's it in a nutshell. Your heart is made up of your spirit, your soul, and your imagination. That's why the scripture says that you are to praise the Lord with a whole heart. What's it saying? It's saying it's not just your spirit, but it's also your soul, but also your imagination. When you praise the Lord, praise Him with a whole heart, not just your spirit, with all your soul, with all that's within you, including your imagination. And so it's a combination of your spirit, your soul, and your imagination. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. It says there in Mark 11:23, it says, "Assuredly I say to you," it's Jesus speaking, "whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." There's some keys to this scripture. I mean, the result, the end result is Jesus is saying you can have whatever you say. But there are conditions that we have to fulfill. We have to speak to the mountain. We've got to refuse to doubt in our heart. We've got to believe the things that we say will come to pass. And if we fulfill those conditions, then we can have whatever we say. And the thing I want to highlight to you is where he talks about you don't doubt in your heart. That word doubt in the Greek is the word diakrino. And it means to separate thoroughly, to withdraw from, to discriminate, to be partial, to stagger, to waver, to be divided. You know, when you doubt, you become divided within yourself. Jesus is saying, if you want to have whatever you say, you've got to speak to the mountain, you've got to refuse to be divided in your heart. He says, don't doubt in your heart. See, if your heart is made up of your spirit, your soul, and your imagination, well, we know your spirit is always going to agree with God. The division comes, what's your soul thinking? What are you seeing in your imagination? And for a lot of people, they want God to do something in their life, and their spirit is saying, yes, amen, because that's God's will, but their soul is saying, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen for me. And their imagination, they're picturing all of the things going wrong in their life. So their heart is divided. You're doubting in your heart. In order to be able to receive the things from God, we've got to refuse to become divided in our heart. Jesus said, if you don't doubt in your heart, if you believe that what you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. To doubt in your heart is to be divided in your heart. And this is what the Bible calls double-mindedness. This is what the Bible refers to as wavering or staggering. When Abraham, it says he did not stagger at the promise of God, or other translation says he did not waver at the promise of God. That word stagger or waver in the original Greek is diakrino. It's the same word as doubt. Abraham was not divided in his heart about what God had promised him. He was single-minded in his believing. See, your spirit has the mind of Christ. But you, in your soul, you've got your own mind. And when your own mind disagrees with the mind of Christ, that's when you're of two minds. That's when you're double-minded. And that's when you're doubting. If we want to be effective in our prayer life, if we want to be effective, and God wants us to, God wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be extraordinarily fruitful. He doesn't want it even to be close. He wants people to be able to look at your life and just like say, like, how are you doing this? You know, like it's not like people are looking and go, well, I can do that, I can match that, I can match that. But eventually you just keep leaving them in the dust. And so that they're coming to you and they're going, how is this possible? How is this happening to you? And that's why he's put these scriptures and these promises in the Word, is to give us understanding, because he wants to encourage us to move in this direction. You can have whatever you say, but Firstly, you've got to speak to the mountain. Secondly, you've got to refuse to become divided in your heart. And then thirdly, you've got to believe what you say is going to come to pass. That's why I love Jess's story. She believes in her heart that God has spoken to her. She's speaking that out. That's not always easy, you know, because one of the things, I mean, if you've got any experience in speaking with people in the medical profession, particularly doctors, they like to be treated as little gods. How dare you even raise your eyebrow at me? When I speak, you jump. That's how a doctor sees themselves. A lot of the doctors, I would say the vast majority, and I'm not trying to bag them all out. Most of them are in it to help people. But because of the way people treat them, it's like, doctor, your word is gospel. Speak. Your servant is listening. Tell me what to do. And for Jess to be able to stand there and say, you know what? This is what God has said to me. This is what I believe is going to happen. This is the reason why I'm doing this. If you don't get it, I can't explain any more than that. That takes tremendous courage, hey? But it also takes a willingness to become single-minded in believing, where your mind and the mind of Christ are saying the same thing. Hallelujah. You don't want to be someone who's divided in your heart. It's just not a good place to be in. You know, you could be in the middle of experiencing a miracle. And if you become divided in your heart, you will lose the miracle. Oh no, Pastor Les, that had never happened to me. If I saw a miracle, I would believe. You'll never see a miracle until you believe. I'll prove it to you, Peter. Remember when they were in the boat and Jesus was walking on the water? And they got scared? And the Lord called out and he said, it's all right, don't fear, it's me. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. He really backed Jesus into a corner, didn't he? What's Jesus going to say? It's not me. He had to say, oh, yeah, okay, come on. Peter gets out. He is doing something that until then only Jesus had been able to do. He was walking on the water. He was experiencing a miracle. And yet in the middle of experiencing a miracle, he began, the scripture says, he looked at the wind and the waves and he became afraid. What happened? He got divided in his heart. All of a sudden, his soul and his imagination weren't picturing him walking on the water. They were picturing, man, these waves are really choppy. This wind is really kind of like boisterous. I'm not sure if I can do this. And he began to harness his imagination and see himself sinking. And he began to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached up and picked him up and he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Diacrino, why were you divided in your heart? You had it, Peter. You can, what's the point I'm trying to make? You can be in the middle of experiencing a miracle and yet you can lose it all if you start becoming divided in your heart, if you start to become double-minded, hey? Hallelujah. You can know how to activate your faith in an area and you've done it dozens and dozens of times and yet the enemy can come in and start to speak to you and try to get in your head to get you carnally minded instead of operating out of your spirit. And if you listen to it, you'll fail, even though you've done it dozens and dozens of times and you've seen God come through. Do you remember the disciples when that man came with his son who would have these seizures and he was demon-possessed? And Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James and John. And he saw all the commotion. He said, what's going on over here? And the man said, I brought my son to your disciples to cast the spirit out, but they could not cast him out. Jesus said, O faithless and perverted generation, how long shall I bear with you? I don't think he was real happy, hey? I've played that out in my imagination, trying to picture Jesus saying that in a happy way. I can't picture it. Oh, you guys, you're just faithless and perverted. Bring him to me. And he cast the demon out, and later the disciples came to him. They said, why couldn't we do it? What were they implying in what they were saying? They were saying, we've done this before. We've done it before, and we know they've done it before because he'd sent them out into towns to minister, and they would come back and they said, look, even the demons listen to us when we command them in your name. So when they couldn't do this, they were really surprised. See, you can know how to activate your faith in an area, and you can still allow the enemy to speak to you and get become carnal in that area, and soon it's not working for you anymore. Because when they said, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. You allowed fear to get in. You allowed worry to get in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We need to be a people who are single-minded in believing, who believe God with a whole heart, who refuse to become divided in our heart. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. Praise the Lord. Are you getting something out of this morning? Hallelujah. I want to show you what's the effect of becoming double-minded or having a divided heart. James 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So there it is again. Doubting is to be divided in your heart. And he says there in verse 8, it says, you are double-minded. When you're divided in your heart, you're double-minded. It's because part of you, your spirit, is saying yes to the promise of God, but your soul is saying no. How? I don't know how that's going to happen. Or your imagination is saying it's definitely not going to happen. This is not going to work out well if I do what God tells me to do. And it says in verse 7, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When you've got a divided heart, when you're double-minded, you can't receive healing. It's like you're saying, I know God says that by his wounds I was healed, but I'm still sick. Why are these symptoms still in my body? Do you think your spirit is saying that? Your spirit's not saying that. Your spirit is saying, it's true. The word of God is true. It's real. But it's your carnal part. It's that soulish part. It's your emotions, your feelings. And listen, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes when your body is in pain, that's not an easy thing to get your mind to quieten down. That's why there's times in the scriptures where it says, be still, my soul. My soul, wait patiently for the Lord. There are times I have to say that to my soul. There are times where it's like my body is saying things, or there's situations going on and urgent decisions need to be made, and I feel like there's a cloud in my mind, and I will speak to myself and I will say, be still, my soul. And I'll deliberately not rush into a decision because I need to quieten myself. I need to hear what God has to say about the situation. Anybody that wants a decision from me and they want to rush me into a decision, the decision will be, no, I'm not doing that. Not doing it. Hallelujah. You can't receive healing if you're double-minded. The scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all these ways. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything of the Lord. You can know the promise of God. You can know that it's his will to heal you. But if you're divided in your heart and part of you is listening to what your body is saying more than it's listening to what God is saying, you're now divided and you can't receive. You can't receive provision. Your spirit knows the promises of God. Your spirit knows that my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory. But there's a fleshly part of you, there's another part of you where your mind is saying, dude, if you give this money, if you give this tithe, you're not going to have enough to get through the week. Or if you give this, it's like God could have put something on your heart to bless someone. And it's like, if you give that, how are you going to do the things you know you've got to do? And if you listen to that and you let that play out in your mind, you're becoming divided in your heart. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything of the Lord. You can't receive provision when you start becoming double-minded. That's when you're saying things like, well, I know he said he's going to supply my need, but how am I going to pay my bills? How? How's that going to happen? Because I keep shelling it out, and that pile just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Or it's like, I know God told me to do this, but the money's not there. It's just not there. I know that's what God told me to do, but the money's just not coming in. So I'm just going to have to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to have to do something about this. I'm not saying these situations are always easy. They are simple, but they're not always easy. Sometimes you can feel that pressure, hey? But if you stay with the Lord and you stay on his word and you allow that to grow within you, you'll start to become single-minded in believing. And then suddenly, effortlessly, the $1,000 appears in an envelope, or there's a manifestation of that healing. Or it's like suddenly it's like, man, where'd those symptoms go? I just struggle with that all the time. Wow, it's just gone. Why? Because you've become single-minded. You're believing him with all of your heart. You're not doubting in your heart. If you're double-minded, you cannot receive his peace, hey? Because you think about it, peace is when there's an assurance and a confidence of what's ahead. You may not know exactly how it's all going to transpire, but there's just like an assurance and a confidence that you're okay. How can you do that if your mind is racing with all these different alternatives? Yeah, but if I do that, then this could happen. Then again, this could happen. So maybe I should do that. Well, if I do that, I'm not sure. That might happen. And you're just lacking peace. I loved Anthony when he shared his testimony a while back. One of the biggest benefits that he shared in his life was peace. And it is a wonderful thing. Sometimes I think as believers we can take it for granted if we've been walking with the Lord for a while. Just to have that ability to rest because I'm at peace. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great blessing. But you can't receive that if you're double-minded. Your breakthrough, your promotion, it can't come if you're double-minded. If you're believing God for breakthrough, but your imagination keeps picturing, I don't know if I'm ever going to get that. I've been believing God for so long, and I can't see it happening. Guess what? You've become double-minded, and it's not going to happen. On the other hand, when you're single-minded in believing, there's a flow of power. Do you remember the diagram? I meant to bring it, but I didn't bring it. But do you remember the diagram we showed of the tap? Yes. And the water in the tap is the Spirit. All in your spirit is where the Spirit of God dwells. You're one spirit with him. That's why just as he is, so are we in this world. When God looks at you and I, there's no difference between you and I and the Lord, because we're one spirit in the Spirit. And so everything you need has been put in your spirit. All the wisdom you'll ever need is in your spirit. All the finances, all the healing, everything is in your spirit. But if it stays in your spirit, you'll never enjoy it in your body or in your mind or in your situation. You want it to flow out from your spirit into your circumstance. Well, how do you do that? That's where the tap comes in. The water is like the water is like the spirit. That's a picture of the spirit. And it's going through the tap, but there's a valve, there's a handle that adjusts the flow of water. And that handle is like your soul and your imagination. Your soul and your imagination control the flow of your spirit. Your spirit is saying yes and amen to everything that God has promised you. But your soul sometimes says, yeah, I know God said that, but. And if you allow your soul to keep saying that, you've closed the tap. And there's only a trickle coming out. And so the tremendous benefit of becoming single-minded in believing, or believing with a whole heart, is our soul, our imagination is now in agreement with our spirit and the mind of Christ. We are single-minded. Our mind and the mind of Christ are saying the same thing. And suddenly there's a flow of power. Suddenly that tap starts to open up. I hope, it's my intention, and I believe this is what's happening, because God showed me that this is the reason I needed to share it, is to bring some understanding. There are some of you, you've been believing God for certain things in your family or in your situation. It's getting some understanding in this area. God is not the one to withhold. God wants to exalt you. He wants to promote you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to show you off as a trophy of His goodness and mercy and His grace. I remember I was talking to Jerry and I said, you know, we can slow God's plan down. The quickest way to get what God wants to give us is to cooperate with Him. That's the quickest way. If we start to get our own ideas and we start to concoct our own plans about our future and we start to get into our own head, we're going to slow down. He still loves us. Sometimes He might have to wait for us to go around the big detour until we can come back to that same place. Sometimes there's things that God's trying to deal with us, and if we don't cooperate with Him, we can take matters into our own hands, and it's just like He's going to have to bring us around. You know, you'll never ever fail with God. You may not always pass, but you'll never fail. Right? If you don't pass, He'll just take you around and let you reset the test. And if you don't pass that, He'll take you around and let you reset. That's why it was important, even with Jerry, that he recognized that there were some things that he needed to put into place with his job rather than escaping. You know, some of you, you're in situations and it's like, man, I wish I was out of this situation. I wish, just God, just get me out of this situation. I hate being in this situation. Now, God can do that. God can do that. But you're asking God to rescue you, and that is not His number one mode of operation. He can rescue you, but He'd rather not. If it needs to happen, He'll do it. And if you push Him on it, He will do it. Do you know His best for you is for you to win? Yeah. Is for you to defeat that situation? Amen. His best for you is to get to a place where that thing is no longer an issue and it doesn't bother you whether it happens or not, because you're walking in domination, you're walking in dominion, you're walking one with Christ. And then He promotes you. That's His best, is to promote you. You can get in a situation where, man, I'm not handling this, I can't cope. And that was kind of similar to what Jerry was sharing in his situation. Like, man, I hate this job. We're always getting delayed. We're finishing late. And so we talked about it for a little while and just ministered to him, where he started to see, you know what? I need to get victory over this. I don't want God to rescue me. I want to beat this thing where it's not an issue. Now he's still at the same job, but all of a sudden it's not an issue anymore. He's passed the test. Amen. And now other things will open up for him. Cooperate with the Lord. It's the quickest way to get to where He's promised you to go home. And so there's tremendous flow of power when you become single-minded in believing, because your soul and your imagination are no longer closing that tap. They're opening that tap. So how can we correct this? How can we start becoming single-minded in believing? How can we believe God with a whole heart? I guess if I could sum it up in, and I'll expand on it, but like in a nutshell, it's your relationship with God. The best way you can sort it out is just by drawing near to him and start to listen to him. Listen, I'm going to give you some other things that you can do, but instead of me saying five things to ensure your success, just start listening to the Lord, because he'll customize a route for you. And he made you for the relationship. He made you to be intimate with him, to walk with him. And so that's the greatest thing that I can tell you. I will share some principles that are just universal principles that you can put into practice. But if you just draw near to him, he'll show you some other things that maybe I'm not mentioning, but are specific for you about what you need. And then you can make those corrections in your life, you know. In Psalm 1, it says, the man who delights greatly in the word of God is the man who's blessed in what he does. The man who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful or walk with the mockers. He doesn't do those things, but he delights in the law and he meditates in the law. So it's talking about relationship. It's talking about putting the word before your eyes, but it's also talking about allowing God to speak to you through his word. One word from God can change your life forever. But how are you going to hear that word if you don't start setting aside time to allow him to speak to you? You know, every year I set myself to break barriers in different areas. I set some goals, and in the area of finances, this year is the first time I've actually been very specific about really writing down some goals. In the past, I would set, it wouldn't be like a goal, but it would just be kind of a direction. I want to outdo myself, what I did last year financially. But this year I've been very specific. I've written down some things because it's pretty exciting where I'm up to. But I remember, I love to do this. You know, we can't take money with us. I want to see how far I can run with this. I want to see how far I can push this barrier and come into new levels. And man, the things that I'm experiencing and have been experiencing even over the last couple of years have been extraordinary. When I think that 5-6 years ago, I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was living week to week, and that is just not an issue for me. And it's wonderful. And God wants the same for every one of us, hey? But it comes out of relationship, just allowing him to lead you. And one of the things that was very much on my heart is just to push this in the area of giving. Oh, God, I want to see how far I can go with this. I remember there was something that God had put on my heart. I don't want to go into all the details because my giving is a very private thing. I'll just say that I'm giving, it really excites me, and I'm constantly looking to push it. But I remember there were some things that I had on my heart, and even when Joy was alive, that she and I had on our heart, and we wanted to do, but we couldn't see in the natural how we could do it financially. And I remember even last year, the Lord spoke to me, and when he spoke to me, all of a sudden, I could see it. The point that I'm trying to get at is, how do you become single-minded in believing? It's through relationship with God. There was something I'd been believing God with for years, and it was going to cost multiple thousands of dollars in the area of giving. But I could not see how I could do it. But it's through that relationship with God and spending time with God. One day he just dropped a word in my heart and he said, you can do this. And when he said it, it's just all of a sudden it's like my soul and my imagination got into perfect alignment with my spirit. And I remember when he spoke to me, I was driving and he said, you can do this now. And I said, I can. And it's like I couldn't see any barrier. My finances hadn't changed. Nothing had changed. But all of a sudden now I was completely unified in my believing. And I knew that I could do it. And it was the simplest thing to do. That's happened to me on a number of different occasions. Where, and I'm talking in the area of finances, but this can work in healing and in every area, to become single-minded. And it comes, one of the biggest ways that, I think that I would encourage you is to build intimacy in your walk with God. Have time and guard that time where you're spending time alone with Him. It's not just happening when you're driving your car. It's not just happening when you're cooking a meal. That's wonderful that you can do that. But even have some time where you just wanting to be still. Do nothing else. And then He'll start talking to you. And that one word from God, all of a sudden, can change your life with where the thing that you had been believing for and you didn't know how it was going to happen, when He drops that word, it suddenly your imagination sees it. Your soul is no longer objecting to it. And you're believing with an entire heart. And you just walk into it. I mean, even doing the studies with Karis, I'd been wanting to do studies with Karis for a number of years, and there was just like 1,000 different reasons, and I just didn't feel it was the right time, and I wasn't sure how I was going to even do it financially. And then just a couple of years ago, just one day, He just dropped this word in my heart, and He said, "You can do this." And when He said it, suddenly I couldn't see any more objection. Nothing had changed in my finances, nothing had changed, but it's just like I could see it. The next day I rang them, and within a few days I was enrolled and staying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your relationship with God. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that men may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He sent." It's your personal walk with the Lord. That's the thing that Jesus, it breaks His heart most, is when people want to use Him for what He has rather than just walk with Him, in fellowship with Him. And so if you really want to be single-minded and believe God with a whole heart, your relationship with God is probably the greatest key that I can give you, is have time with Him, is begin to develop that and spend time with Him. It can be through reading the Word. It could be through putting on some music and worshiping Him. But it can also be, and I would encourage you to do this, is just to switch everything off and wait on the Lord. And that's so hard for us living in our modern world. Well, what do you mean wait on the Lord, Pastor Luke? Well, how long do I have to do that for? Just wait. Just to teach your flesh, no, you don't rule me, I rule you. We're going to wait. And you'll find, if your mind is anything like my mind, all of a sudden you're getting these thoughts, don't forget, you've got to do that, you've got to do that, you've got to do that. It's like, no, that can wait. I'm just going to wait. Oh, we're not doing anything, we need to do something. I could be using this time to get a few things done. I don't know about you, but I love having checklists. That's part of my personality. I actually have a checklist which leads me to my main checklist, a checklist for my checklist, where these are the things that I got to do, and then I'll say, "See notes in main checklist," and then it's got more notes with other things, because I love ticking boxes that I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. And my mind, you know, when I'm waiting on the Lord, wants to go a million miles an hour. Dude, you could be doing this and this, this. You could have 5 things ticked off your checklist, got off your butt and just went and did that. But there's great benefit in being still and learning to wait on Him. It's not an accident that Scripture says, "They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength." Hey, there's great benefit in learning to wait on the Lord, and that's all part of your relationship with God. Another great way of becoming single-minded and believing is renewing your mind. Have a look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 2. Give me an oi when you're there. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So it says, be transformed, how? By what? The renewing of your mind. When you allow your mind to become renewed, it starts to agree with what God says. So it starts to come into agreement with your spirit. Now you're starting to become single-minded in your believing. Renewing the mind just means that you're going to spend time in His Word, the promises that He's given you, and you're going to allow that to start washing over your mind and all of the objections that your emotions and your mind and your imagination are trying to make. You know, here's a really, really handy thing that I'm often doing. You know, a really good way of harnessing your imagination. Just ask yourself this question. What would it look like if this promise that God made me would come to pass? What would it feel like if this promise that God made me would have come to pass? And giving yourself some time in your imagination to answer that, what it would look like. That's a great way of harnessing your imagination. God's made me a promise. I don't know what's going to happen. My mind's going everywhere. I'll slow myself down and I'll start to ask, what would it look like if that promise came to pass right now? And I'll just allow myself in my imagination to see that working out. What am I doing? I'm starting to become single-minded in believing. I'm getting my imagination, instead of it working against me, I'm harnessing it to work for me. And I'm saying, come on, let's think about it. I'm not thinking about what if this goes wrong, what if nothing works. I'm thinking about what would this look like if it did happen. And then spending sufficient time to say, what would that feel like? Man, that would feel so good. Man, that would... I can see myself sharing this testimony in church. I can see myself sharing that testimony with my family. I can see myself sharing that. I can see others hearing about and just allowing your imagination to take you there and feeling that. You're harnessing your imagination. Hallelujah. That's all part of renewing the mind. Read and meditate and speak the word. Not just any scriptures, but the promises that God has given you. Let His thoughts superimpose your thoughts. Hallelujah. Praise is another great way. And when the Fenskies came a few weeks ago, Robert talked about praise, which was really, really awesome. You know, these are ways that we can start to become single-minded in believing. And there are tremendous benefits. I'll just to finish off with, I want to just share one area where it really, really worked for me. I grew up in a very traditional church, and it was very works-based. It was very legalistic in its thinking, and I didn't understand or realize the impact that it had on my life, where I saw in my subconscious, I viewed God very much as a taskmaster. And He had a to-do list as well. But it was all the things that I was supposed to do. And none of them were ticked from God's... That's how I saw it in my subconscious. That was growing up in this church that was so legalistic, so bound up. I had a love for God. I never doubted His existence. But I really felt like He had this eternal frown when it came to me. It's just like He would smile at other things, but when He'd think about Les Gomes, it's like, oh, what are we going to do with him? You know, and just kind of felt like that, you know. And, you know, when you think that the master of the universe, that's the way He sees you, you don't realize, but it starts to seep into every area of your life that you think, well, I'm not that good. I'm really not much good. I'm not good for anything. And I didn't understand how that was beginning to infiltrate everything that I was doing. But essentially, I kind of didn't see myself being able to do a lot. And so consequently, I really lacked confidence in talking to people. I would actually avoid mixing with people. I would just stick to myself and just be by myself. And I would I wouldn't think about, oh, well, you know, if I go and talk to people, they'll probably think I'm a bit of an idiot or I'm a loser or something, so I'll just stick to it. I wouldn't be thinking like that. I'd just make up reasons, legitimate reasons, reasons that I thought were important. Oh, well, you know, I've got to do this and I've got to do this. I had my own little checklist that I've got to do. I would love to talk to those people, but I've got to do things. And so I'd busy myself, and that was my excuse. I didn't understand what was happening. And it was as I began to spend time with God that one day he began to talk to me. He said, I want to talk to you about this area. And he said, do you know why you avoid people? I said, well, God, I've got lots of things to do. And he said, you know that's not true, don't you? And he showed me the real reason. The real reason was I was so scared of being rejected. I was so scared that people would think I was an idiot, that it would confirm what I believed in my heart, that I wanted to avoid that happening. And then he began to talk to me. He said, you know, he said, that's not what I think of you. And he began to show me what he thought of me. And I began to allow that to come into my imagination and to come into my thinking. I allowed that to become prominent and allow myself to feel, what would that feel like if I knew that God thought I was awesome? What would it be like if I knew in my heart that God thought I was so valuable? You know that's true. That's what God thinks of you and I. We are so valuable. We are so awesome. He gave everything to rescue you and me. And I began to allow that in my imagination. And I didn't realize what was happening, but as I allowed that to happen in my imagination, I started to become single-minded in believing about what God thought about me. Until one day, I don't know how long it had been, probably several months when God had begun to speak to me. One day, I was amongst I remember it was at the Brisbane City Council, and it was in the meal room, and there was a dozen of these bus drivers, and you know, most of them had profane language, but we were just kind of like sitting around, and we were eating together, and we were talking, and we were joking, and I was in the midst of it, contributing, and just having a lot of fun without having to lower my standards or anything like that. And it was like the Lord brought that to my attention. He said, do you see what you're doing? And I said, what? He said, have you noticed how you're talking to all these people? And I hadn't noticed that. And I thought, what? When did this happen? And I just noticed that it had been happening for weeks and weeks and weeks. What had happened? I'd started to become single-minded. I started to worship God with a whole heart in that area of my life. And suddenly it began to affect other areas of my life. Where it's like, suddenly I could be with them and I didn't care. Even if they thought I was weird, I was stupid. Even if they thought, you're just strange. You know, you're one of them Christian people. It didn't matter to me anymore. The fear of that, the fear of rejection was gone. Because the greatest person in the universe thought I was amazing. Spend time with him. Let him speak to you. Don't have a predetermined agenda. Well, God, I need to talk to you about this and this and this. And then he starts talking to you about, well, that's got nothing to do with what I'm talking to you about, so I'm not doing that. Not till you listen to me. Do you realize sometimes the thing he's talking to you about is related to the very thing you desire? Many, many times. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, did you get something out of that this morning? Praise God. You know, you want to, come on, let's stand up. You want to make some correction in this area. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.